All right, good evening. Greet each one of you in Jesus' name this morning. I think before we go any further, let's just pause for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this evening. Thank you for blessing each one of us. Thank you for grandparents and the heritage that we have. And thank you for each one of the grandparents that are here this evening. Bless them as they relate to grandchildren. And pray that as we look at passing faith from generation to generation and being faithful throughout the years and into the later parts of life, that you just bless each one of us and just be with the service this evening. Pray that you would just be with me as I speak, that you would help me to be clear and concise and to speak the words that you would have me to speak. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this evening I have a simple topic, and it's centered around three words. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the definitions, and these are not maybe the definitions for these words in particular, but the definitions that that I'm using. The three words are life, love, and legacy. The definition that I have for life, what I mean by that, is a solemn declaration or evidence of God's truth, character, and saving work, encompassing personal experiences and communal witness to glorifying Him and strengthen faith. So that could also maybe be thought of as testimony, would be maybe another word for that. Second word I have is love. Intense, unrestrained, and free-flowing love or fondness that is expressed without limitations or hesitations. We'll get into more of what I mean by that. And the third word is legacy. Long-lasting impact of particular events, actions, etc. that took place in a person's life. So, by far the most important. Those are not necessarily in order of importance, but the most important is life. And again, that was a solemn declaration or evidence of God's truth or a testimony. And I had two grandpas, and they both passed now. And one, I feel like, was a tremendous example of love. And so I brought this cup here, and we'll get into that. Part of this is biblical based. We're going to look at some psalms, and then I'm going to get into some of my own experiences, some things that I remember. So we're going to talk about a grandpa who I felt like was a good example of love. And then I have another grandpa that was, to me, a good example of legacy. And so I brought a picture along, and hopefully this will, maybe I'll just set it right up here on the top. All right, so if you can't see that, you should have sat further up. All right, but before we get to that, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 78. Psalm number 78, and I feel like this psalm, both my grandpas encompassed a lot of life. They experienced a lot of life. They lived to their mid-70s and lower to mid-70s. And like I said, these, by far the most important of these three words, life, love, and legacy. I feel like life is the most important, because without a life or a solemn declaration or evidence of God's truth and saving work, I don't think the love is going to be there. And there will probably be a legacy, but not maybe the one or the type that we're looking for. So life, what does it mean to show evidence of God's grace, to show evidence of His saving work, and to live that out? And so in Psalm 78, It's quite a long psalm. I think we'll probably go ahead and read through most of it, or maybe all of it. And this psalm is recounting, like it does many other places in the Bible, it's talking about Israel and the Lord God Jehovah, and the constant, I guess maybe you could call it the life that Israel lived, the backsliding, the turning away, the repentance, and the hardships that Israel faced as a result of their sin, and as a result of sin in the world and separation from God. And I think all of us can relate to that. We can relate to life. I think all of us, when we think of life, there's lots of hardships. There's lots of joys. There's this constant, we live in a world where, there's a constant, the devil's busy. Satan is busy. He's working to separate us. He's working to take away that relationship that we have with God, and maybe particularly for grandparents, as maybe you're getting toward the later stages of life. And the reason I'm bringing so much, this is important for all of us, and the reason I'm bringing this out in relation to grandparents is because life is foremost, and then I want to show you how that worked out, the lives that my grandparents lived, how that worked out to the love that I felt and the legacy that I received. So let's keep that in mind, the life that we're living, what God's doing. And I'm just going to read it without a lot of comment, but I would like you to just have these things in mind as you're thinking, as you're listening or following along. We're thinking of God as an angry taskmaster, because it sure looks like that sometimes. We're going to read about some of the things, the feelings that God had toward Israel. Or is he a relentless pursuer? And sometimes the hard things in our life are God just pursuing us relentlessly. And the second thing I'd like us to think about, and maybe particularly relating to grandparents and thinking of passing things on from generation to generation, is the value of not hiding failures to oncoming generations, and just We see that with this passage that the failures that Israel experienced were made known. They were taught to the generation coming forward as a warning and as a caution. So let's just, if you can keep those things in mind as we read, and we'll start here in verse 1 of Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them for their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should also arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might be as their fathers, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea, and he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did consume in vanity and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all of his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. They remembered not how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He also gave their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle, also the hail and their flocks, to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation, and trouble, by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence. He smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief to their strength in the tabernacles of Ham. But he made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them on safely, so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies, and he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain, which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yea, they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and they kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he had placed among them, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He gave his people over also unto the sword, and was wroth with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men and their maidens, and their maidens were not given to marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awakened as one out of a sleep, and like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine, and he smote his enemies in the hinder parts, and he put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph, and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah and the Mount of Zion, which he loved. And he built the sanctuary like high places, like the earth which he hath which he hath established forever. He chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. He fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. So we just, as I mentioned before, it's the age-old story of Israel returning, falling away from God, a generation coming back to God in revival, and then the next generation falling back, and just that constant seesawing. And yet, isn't that story goes on, and it's the same for us. We struggle. We don't know how. It's maybe as grandparents and as a church to know how do we pass this on to the next generation. How do we? It's so easy for it to fall away. And one of the things that I will say is that I think living in a time of peace and having that heritage of faithful grandparents is tremendous. Many of you know we lived in Kenya for number of years, and there is definitely a an element of joy and of that comes from the most of those Christians being first generation and the powerful testimony and the lives transformed. That's terrific, and I love that. I love to see it. But there is also something that's missing when predominantly. Or there's a dimension that is so valuable when you have, you know, generations that have been faithful, and I think we do well not to discount that or undervalue that. And so that's something that you as grandparents and as older individuals in the church just know that is valuable, and yeah, I think we do well to appreciate that. So, a lot of life lived, a lot of heartache, a lot of yearning, a lot of falling away and coming back to God. I think that was the experience of both my grandfathers, that they struggled to live holy lives, to live lives pure and consecrated to God, as we all do, I think. And yet they did it. They made mistakes, and probably mistakes that I didn't even understand, you know, as a child growing up. Until I was 9 or 10, I had no idea that my grandparents weren't perfect. That was just, I thought they could do no wrong. But, you know, growing up and seeing some things now in hindsight, maybe it's as I get older and start to have those same tendencies, I can maybe say, well, you know, maybe that's what was going on with Grandpa at that point. But they were faithful. And so I have one grandpa that I feel like lived a lot of life, and yet he loved us intensely. And the definition that I have for love is intense, unrestricted and free-flowing love or fondness that is expressed without limitations or hesitations. And, you know, there might be some different ideas that, you know, maybe we should hold back, maybe not show too much affection. And if that's your perspective, I'm not. But my perspective is young children, young grandchildren, just show them affection, unrestrained affection, fondness. Just that's what I had as with my grandpa, and to this day, it's something that I really treasure. So maybe just some stories that maybe put that in perspective. So the reason I have this cup up here is it says Hotspot on it, which is a convenience store that was more popular down south back 25 years ago. And on the bottom it says 5-cent refill. And so my grandpa Joel had he had a small farm, 200-acre farm, and he had chickens, but he also had beef cows. And it was, I don't know that he ever made a lot of money doing that, but he really enjoyed it. And so every so often he would go to the sale barn and he would take a load of beef cows in. And I don't even know how many times it would have been, probably between 5 and 10 times, that when the boys got to a certain age and the girls would go too, I'm not sure how he chose who went when, but every now and then we would get a call, like call our mom and dad and be like, hey, can Bruce go with me to the, I'm going to take Bruce and Travis, be my cousin my age, we're going to go to the sale barn on Tuesday. And so we weren't at school that day, we skipped school, we would get up early in the morning, 7 o'clock or something, it was crazy. And we would go over, and you know, Grandpa would have the truck and trailer pulled up there beside the house. He already had the cows loaded, and he had a single cab bench seat in there, and Travis and I would jump in there, and we would get started. We would go to the cow sale, and always every time, Grandpa had a travel mug that had this logo on it, the 5-cent refill and the hotspot logo. And he would take his nickel in there to Hotspot, and he would get his refill for 5 cents. And just core memories. And that was just one of hundreds of ways my grandpa showed that. And one thing I wanted to bring out too is that some people are going to naturally relate to grandchildren more this way than some other people. And that was a gift that my grandpa Joel had. He could make you feel special. Maybe another example was that he would call his grandchildren and be like, hey, won't you come here? And he'd whisper in our ear, he'd be like, I love you. He would tell us, I want to tell you a secret. So he'd whisper, I love you. And I was probably 7 or 8 years old until I figured out that that actually wasn't what a secret was. I just thought that was what a secret was. Somebody whispers in your ear. So he just had that way, and that was a natural gifting, I think, for him. And some grandparents are going to be more naturally gifted that way. And if you are naturally gifted that way, just lean into it. I just feel like you have no idea how much that can affect someone. And here I am, 25 years later, and still thinking of that. And what that can do for a child, the security and that can give a child, you know, that their grandpa loves them. Next thing that I have is legacy. And I brought that up because my other grandpa wasn't quite that way. He wasn't one that would show affection real regularly. And as a small boy, I wasn't quite sure how to take him, honestly. Like, he was, yeah, you just didn't know where you were. He didn't have that gift. And so, like I said, if you have that gift, lean into it. If you don't have the gift, don't be afraid to take some risks and try something you're not quite comfortable with. my other grandpa was Grandpa Marion. And he lived a lot of life as well. He had a lot of ups and downs and some really hard things in life. And a lot of really discouraging things that were hard. He was a nationwide bishop, and the church went through tremendous hardships and he experienced a lot of pain and through that. And as he got older, and probably as I got older, I started to be able to relate to him a little more. But he never gave up. He left a legacy, long-lasting impact of particular events, and actions, et cetera, that took place in a person's life. And I was looking up definitions. I was trying to decide what definitions I wanted to use. One definition for legacy that comes up is a monetary legacy, a legacy that you pass on, you leave money. And my Grandpa Marion was not a man without means. He had done pretty well for himself, but his goal was as he got older, near the retirement age, he had enough money. He could have just retired and done hobbies and amused himself. And I remember one of the last conversations I had with him. So as they were, Grandma and Grandpa were in their 70s and had a lot of experience with church work, and the Nationwide constituency was looking at starting a church in Uganda. And they wanted to know, they had a young couple that was willing to go, and they wanted to know what Grandpa and Grandpa consider going to Uganda to help start this church. And I remember talking to him, and he said, Grandma thinks she's too old, but I don't think I am. And so they took that opportunity, I think is how he saw it. It was a opportunity, and they went over. There was nothing there. It went over, and I think this is still on. They found this house in Uganda. And the two couples set up a mission house, mission station right there, and started ministering to the African people. And a number of years ago, being in Kenya, we were able to go across. We'd go to Uganda at different times, and we were able to track down this house. The mission's not there anymore. They moved on. We were able to track down this house, and this is actually the house where my grandpa died. They had been in Uganda for about 3 months, and one Sunday morning, he was participating in the service and got to not feeling well, and ended up going back and laying down, and after a bit, he was pretty sure it was his heart. He told my grandma, he's like, it's my heart. And he feels like he knew at that point that he wasn't going to make it, and ended up dying in the hospital just a couple hours later. But made a tremendous impact on the people that he was ministering to. We were able to hear stories and people that still remembered Marion and the things that he taught them, and the fact that he was at his age, he was over there ministering to them, and ended up dying. And so, I don't think I'll ever receive any of his money, but I've received, having that experience is something that I'll treasure. And I feel like that is a legacy. It's something that I have received. It's something that he gave us. He's not here anymore. Neither of my grandpas are here anymore. But while they were living, they gave me something. And that's something that you can do as grandparents, is, as we're in our later stages of life, the things that are going to last are the things that live on in children. So the challenge that I'd like to leave with us are the three words: life, love, and legacy. So life, we're going to live a lot of life. It's just how the world works. But I'd like you to remember to take that life and be able to love unconditionally, to show affection, and give those children something to remember and something that they'll remember for years. And then a legacy. What are you? What can we do that's gonna show what's important, what is going to have lasting value. And so with these thoughts in mind, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this evening. Thank you for blessing each one of us. Thank you for grandparents, generation of older Christians, and that care deeply, that yearn to see the next generation be faithful, to develop a strong love and a devotion for you. Pray that you just bless each one that's here, each grandparent, each grandchild, and just our church as a whole, that as we strive to do this very difficult thing of passing on the faith, of showing the way, showing Jesus' love, you just help us to be faithful in doing that, and that we could be effective. Just pray that you would just go with us and keep us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.